and
it's good. Everybody's eating. That's good. Drinking. We're in the Rambam. As long as we're not drinking any para aduma waters, we are okay. We're on the 11th chapter of Hilchos Para Aduma. We're 2/3 done. Guys, look, only this much left to finish Hilchos Para Aduma. Then we go into Tumah Tzaraas. Tumah Tzaraas. Whoa, no, we got a while to go. Tumah Tzaraas. That's not going to be too bad. But then Mishka B'Moisha. Okay, we've got a few tough ones to go. But we're going to make it. Okay, we're now going to discuss the sprinkling of with the hyssop. Okay, that's the focus.
And if you're a woman,
of tonight. Hyssop. Okay, first halacha is fairly simple. Ketzad mitaharim t'meis b'mei nida. Exactly, what's the procedure to purify a person who is corpse tuma with the waters of the paraduma? So what do we do? Lokeach Odom Tohor, a Tohor person, guys who've gone to the mikvah, he can even be a Tful Yom, as we've said. Shalosha Kelochim Shel Ezov. You take three stalks of Ezov, the hyssop. We discussed what that was. And now how do we know that? It doesn't say it anywhere in the laws of Paraduma. Because it just says you take Azov, but it says by the Korban Pesach, and Agudas Azov, and Aguda, a group, a bundle is never less than three. So we learn Xavier Shava, Agudas Azov, to Azov, that we have three. So three hyssop stalks. Okay. Kolachim shall ezov va'ogdam agudas achas ubechol bad, and every stalk ubad givol echad, one blade. In other words, you could take a stalk and then it could sprout off one to the right, one to the left. You have three blades on one stalk. We will see exactly. It's one blade with one stalk. We'll explain what you can do to fix things up, but each stalk with one blade, take three separate stalks that have one blade each, bind them together, dip them into water, and sprinkle it. That's the way you're supposed to do. Vitovel Roshe, give them, you dip the tips of the stalks, Bemeinida in the Paraduma water, Shibakli in a utensil, Umiskave, now you have intention when you're dipping it for that purpose. Then you sprinkle it on either the person or kelim, or utensils that are tamei meis. Bayom hashlishi, on the third day, ubayom hashvi, and the seventh day, achar shetein etzachama, after sunrise. Okay, the third and seventh days after the person is tamei. Now, what if you sprinkled it a little early? Vimhiza, and if you sprinkle, be careful in the word there, hiza, underline that word. Mishalma to Shachar, went from dawn. Mishalma, kosher, it's also good. Kosher, because dawn is considered halachic day. We could make mistakes. We could think it's day, but it could be the night. It's cloudy, this and that. But b'di'eved, if you do it after sunrise, it's okay too.
Not sunrise,
after dawn. Va'achar shiyaz alav v'yom, and after the seventh sprinkling day, toivo v'yom, you go to the mikvah on that seventh day. Umar shimsha, the sun sets. Va'rehu torler, now he's tar. At night, he can go to the Beis Hamikdash, have a nice korban, have a good time. Okay.
But he's not completely cleaned up until he has his korban, usually, for most things.
Not for tamei meis.
Right, okay, tamei meis.
We're talking about tamei meis.
Oh, okay, good.
Not doing any korban for tamei meis. Not talking about a mitzora. We're not talking about other people that may need that. But he's fine. Now, Toval Esa Ezov Balaila. What if you dipped the hyssop at night? Vihiza Bayom. Now, I don't know how you're going to do that. You sprinkle in the day. That's a long wait.
Well, no, it could be 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we could say, a minute before, a minute before dawn, and then a minute after dawn, or after. That's right, you're right, thank you. Or Shetoles of Bayom, or you dipped it a minute before sunset, V'hiz of Alayla, and you sprinkle it at sunset. Hazah so psula, the sprinkling is pasal, everything's got to be in the day. And not only that, v'hamayim mitami mishum echatos, and the water that's still left is possible now to not to be used for future use. Kamoshis bo'er, as will be explained. Meaning to say that the water, the paraduma, can... Remember, there is a big misconception. We'll learn much more. Remember the whole thing of, well, you know, people who are Torah become tummy and all this stuff. Yeah. That's not... We have not seen that yet at all.
No.
You're not going to see it until chapter 15. And it's only a specific case where you have this water that you messed up. Okay, the water that you messed up, you did it the wrong time, then any extra water could be matamiyu, which we'll leave for discussion in chapter 15.
Okay.
That's the only case where it's going to mamish make you tummy. It's not the... If you do a regular azon somebody, you don't become tummy. It's a big misnomer.
Who's you? You the sprinkler or you the receiver?
Both. It's only when it's only under certain circumstances, which we'll learn on chapter 15, do they become like that. So we will see. But that water, that's not good water now. That water that you were sprinkling with the wrong way, the leftover water, that can give off tumah, which we will discuss more. So what do you have to have? So he kind of repeats what he's saying, but he adds one little knage, because up to now he said you sprinkle in the day. But now he adds, actually, to be clear, actually, you have to have both the dipping of the hyssop into water, also, and the sprinkling mimenu of that. By Yom HaShlishi on the third day, or by Yom HaShlishi on the seventh day, Achar Shetonei Tzachama, after sunrise, Vim Ovar Va'osso, what if you transgressed, really didn't do the right way, you did it after dawn, Bidiyavid Kosher Kamoshe Barano. Okay, so it's all pretty clear. Everything has to be at least, at minimal, done after dawn, Lichat Chila, after nates. Okay, third day, seventh day, dipping and sprinkling, all done at that time. Pretty straightforward halacha. Now, what about, you know, not everybody can come on time all the time. People have very busy schedules. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like it's hard to, you know, to pick up clothes from the cleaners. You know, you drop off the cleaner on Monday. Some come back Wednesday after 4 o'clock. It's not convenient for me to come back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So I'm going to come on Thursday, maybe. Or maybe Friday. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Erev Shabbos right before Shkia. Whatever. So imagine it's the same thing. You go to the Kohen. And on one day, you come the first day, and it says, okay, come back in four days. Oh, it's not a convenient time for me to come. Okay, so let's see what happens. Base. Mishinit mabemes. Guy is tamei mes. And first of all, v'shah kama yom v'lo hazah. And he waited many days. We don't know how many yet.
We don't know.
Until the first sprinkle. Kishub. Now, kishubal haos. Now he comes to us. He comes, he walks in, whatever, to Yerushalayim, wherever the Kohanim are hanging out. And he says, oh, by the way, Mr. Cohen, I was tummy a couple days ago. As a matter of fact, let's say today is Wednesday. I was tummy on Sunday. So let's count. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Oh, it's the third day now. So can you give me a sprinkle? I was waiting till I got to the third day. Can you give me a sprinkle? Very interesting. Nothing doing. He must count before us in our presence.
Oh boy.
Gimel Yamim, 3 days. Day one, day two, day three. Umazin alav bashlish. And we sprinkle on him on the third day of Bashir and the seventh. Tvitovo bashvi. And then he goes to make on the seventh day of Harav Shimsha. And the sun sets on that. We need proof positive. Why? You will see. Bamed, when are we speaking? When do we say this? Ba'amaharetz and Ignaramis. A person who's not so careful in mitzvahs, Shabbat house is coming to get sprinkled. Shafila Amar, even if he says, and he's sincere, he says, Hayyim says, this is my third day since I've been tamei.
We don't believe him.
Ain't it? We don't believe him. Why? Because maybe he's not such a careful Jew. Shema Hayyim Nitma, maybe he got tamei today because he wasn't so careful. And therefore, he would need to count now 3 days from hence. Lefiga Tzarklis, he must count before us. Now, I know we can't watch him for 72 hours straight. But the thinking is, if he went to the Kohen, Kohen's going to ask him a few questions. Mm-hmm. Mishka says, okay, now you're tummy, let me give you the guidelines. You know, before you go to hospital, you take any of these tests, you know, certain tests. Mm-hmm. If you need your, what do you call that test? Where they clean out your bowels.
The prep.
They say you got to have the right prep or the test isn't going to work out. And they go through it with you and they say, you know, and everybody, can you imagine a guy walks into a hospital.
I've done the prep.
And says, I want the colonoscopy now.
I've done the prep.
Have you prepared yourself? I did the prep. And then they go and do it and he takes the picture of the whole mess all over there. So you go to the Cohen and he preps you. He says, okay, so I want you to know, cemeteries, off limits, hospitals, off limits, this and that, off limits. And he's told that in advance. Right, I don't know to what extent if he has to check it every day, whatever. But you've got to start the process in front of us.
Does he wear one of these little locators on his wrist?
I don't know. But that'll be a good thing to do now. A chaver, a guy who is punctilious in his mitzvah observance, shabal ha'asos, that comes to get sprinkled, and he says, let's say, you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky comes to you and says, I was at a funeral 3 days ago, and I would like you to sprinkle me. We sprinkle on him all Caleb Miyad or on his utensils immediately the first one, and then we wait 4 days. Fine. So that's regarding the front end. So if you're an ignoramus or not careful, you got to tell us that day, and then we count three. A chaver will trust you. Now let's say you did that. Whatever the situation is, you have had the day three sprinkling, and that was good. Okay, now you got to come back 4 days later. So what happens now? Misha, who's a lover shlishi, got sprinkled on the third, but he was busy on day seven. He's a busy guy. Well, who's a lover shvi and did not get sprinkled on the seventh? Fishah kamayam, and he waited a number of days. Tovel b'chol eshiyir tzachar hashvi. He can tovel himself any time he wants after the seventh day. And look what more you get now. Because once you've passed the seventh day, then on the eighth, ninth, tenth, whatever, bein bayom b'mal, he can sprinkle in the day or the night. Because once you've passed the seven-day marker, it can be any time. Umazin 11, you can, and more than that, umazin bayom, you can sprinkle, let's say, in the day, bein kodin tefillah, whether it's before he went to the mikvah, bein achar tefillah, or whether after he went to the mikvah. Afilu tavo b'leil tshiu b'leil, even if he goes to the mikvah on the night of the ninth or the night of the tenth, still, mazin alav lemocher. Let's say, like this, he got spring on the third day, he didn't sprinkle anything, and then the ninth night, he goes to the mikvah, and he comes in the next day, which is day nine, the next day, he said, like my second sprinkling, that too will work. Mazin alav lemocher, achar neitzachama, and he doesn't need any tefillah after that, because the Torah says, v'hiza hator al hatamei. I skipped a page.
He doesn't
need another tefillah.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's certainly if he did tefillah before Shkiyas Achama and he ended, that's also fine. Good. So that's the second.
We're not encouraging tefillahs. Like,
well, of course we're encouraging it, but what do you do if they're not? You know, you're not messing it up.
But he's not punished.
It's no different, really, in many ways. Let's say a woman who has to keep her shivas nikiyah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
keep her seven clean days. And what if she just, you know, didn't check for it? She was busy. She couldn't check the seventh day. Couldn't go to the mikvah. You know, listen, we'd like you to be Torah as soon as possible, but you're not penalized for extending the days. Okay, now comes an interesting shaila that was relevant to one of the daf yomis we learned not so long ago. Now, look at this one here. Kol ha-metamim, let's say a person besides corpse tumah has another tumah, which shall be explained shortly. And remember, when you sprinkle for parah adumah, all it removes is corpse tumah, notwithstanding any other tumahs that you have. So what's going to happen with the other tumahs that you have? And can you purify yourself from corpse tumah, knowing that you still have tumah of nida or zav or zava or things like that? So kol ha-mitamim, people who have other types of tumahs besides corpse tumah, still mekablim hazav, they can receive the sprinkling. Ketzad, let's have an example. Zavim v'zavos nidos v'yoldos. Okay, a male zav or a female zava, a female nida, or a woman who was gave birth to a child. Okay, they already carry a different tumah. They all have different tumahs. Then shenitmu b'meis, and then became tamei meis. Or for that matter, they could have been tamei meis beforehand. It wouldn't matter if the tumei meis was before, the tumei meis was after. It really wouldn't matter. Still, mazen aleim b'shlishi u'shvi. You sprinkle on the third and the seventh. Varehem taharim, and they are at least purified mei tumas meis. They no longer carry corpse tuma, and therefore that things they will touch afterwards will not transfer from the corpse tuma. They may have another tumah, but that's going to be a lesser kind of tumah. So you might have thought, well, what's helping? Just clean up everything. Make sure that you're no longer a nida, no longer a zav, and let's leave the paraduma until everything is cleared up. Torah says, no, and there's a pasuk to back it up. Shinemar, now we know when we're talking about a guy going to get the ash paraduma, the guy is tumah. And we're going to say, you're going to sprinkle, the Torah guy is going to sprinkle, we could say sprinkle on him, but the Torah says, V'hiza ha-tohar al ha-tomei b'yom ha-shvi. The Torah person sprinkles on the tomei guy on the third. Well, we know the guy's tomei from the beginning of the parsha over there. Why do you have to call him tomei again? To teach us halamana, to teach us shahazoya mo'ela, so the sprinkling helps? Afal pishu tomei, even if he is tomei. That's how we see that. So you can purify him completely from tumas mace, even though he's carries other tumas, which would not allow him to still go to the Beis HaMikdash or whatever, but the greater tumah has been taken away. That's the much bigger tumah than the other tumas. So you get one tumah, then now if the guy says, I don't want to bother, doesn't have to, but it works.
That's still needed eventually.
Well, he needs other things. He doesn't need to get sprinkled. He just go to a mikvah.
But he has too much mace.
I'm saying, so the guy might have figured, well, why bother? So Torah's saying it still works. It works. And it would probably be better to get rid of it. Some people might want to kill two birds with one stone. Let's say the lady will say, okay, listen, it's just not, my cycle isn't quite working right. Let me wait a few more days, so I'll time mikvah night with paraduma night. Right. Because I'll have one less trip to make to the mikvah.
Sure.
Theoretically, but we're saying, but no, one is not dependent on the other, and you really would like to get the tumas mace. It's a much bigger tumah. You want to get rid of that tumah, even though there's a smaller tumah on you. Similarly, v'chein ha'arel, someone who is uncircumcised who cannot eat korbanos.
No, he can't.
Mikabel hazah, he still can be Jewish and not circumcised. Right. Still can be sprinkled. Kate said, let's have an example. Orel Shenitva Mace, an uncircumcised fellow, came in contact with a corpse. V'hizel of Shlishi Shvi, we sprinkle on the third and the seventh day. Hareza Tor Mitumas Mace, he is pure from corpse tuma. Umishiyimol, and when he gets circumcised, Tovel, so now there's no point in going to the mikvah yet. Because what's the mikvah going to help? Yeah. Corpse tuma. Is you need the mikvah to be able to eat kutchim.
But you can't eat kutchim if you're not.
You got to remember, even though you haven't gone to the mikvah, the corpse tumah is gone. But you have to go to the mikvah. So therefore, once he gets circumcised,
now he can go to the
mikvah. Tovel, he goes to the mikvah, and then va'oichel ba'kadoshim l'erev, then he can eat kutchim at night.
So should an Ariel ever use a mikvah?
To get rid of corpse tumah.
But he can't eat. The sprinkling gets rid of the corpse tumor, we say.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny how he throws that in. The commentary has nothing to add. It just says the Gemara talks about a guy wants to eat a corpse in Pesach. I mean, why would the Orel be so worried about corpse tumor? Think about it. He can't eat a corban. Now, what's the one corban he must eat?
Corban Pesach.
Yes, he's a corban Pesach. So what does he really want to do? He wants to eat a corban Pesach.
Yeah.
So we got to get rid of it. So Mila, you can get any time you want. You get a meal on Erev Pesach and go eat from the Korban Pesach. Problem is, if you have corpse tuma, we have to deal with that first. So therefore, you can deal with the corpse tuma, and then he can. It's an unusual case because what's he been doing till now?
That's the question.
I thought we were talking about a hemophiliac who can't get it.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to understand. So what's going to happen now that he can? So either the guy, for whatever reason, never got a meal.
Yeah.
He never got a mila, and now he's doing tshuva. He wants to get a mila for this next Pesach. He's about tshuva.
Give me some Russian. Something.
Whatever. So now he wants to get a mila, and it's coming up to Pesach. He wants to eat a korban Pesach. So that's the thing. Okay, from Dalet to the end of the chapter.
Yes.
We're going to just deal with the Azov now. Strictly dealing, it's getting a little bit of botany over here. I cannot tell you, I have precise understanding because I haven't met an Azov.
Exactly. I have it in my Gesamim for Erev.
Hyssop, and exactly how the tips look. So you'll help me out with that part to get a little more clarity on that. That's, I have the general, and there are no pictures in the Rambam Plus. So that's not going to help. But I'm sure we have enough intelligent guys who can help us out with the pictures here. Now, let's go back. Now we're talking about, first, the ideal. There's the ideal, and then less than the ideal, which is also good, and then what is totally not good. Ideally, mitzvahs ezov shlosha klachim is three stalks. Vekol kelach vekelach, and each and every stalk, givol echad, one shoot, as we've already explained. Now, what if you have nimtzeu gimol givolim vishiyorov shnayim? Okay, what if you had three stalks and you lost one of them? Whoa. And there's two left.
I did you
got through. You got three, and you're going whatever, and one got lost. Just got lost. Now I only got two, and obviously, and another one is not handy, right? That I don't need a picture for that. That's hyssop.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to focus on the tips. All right. Well.
You want me to get the tips for you? I'll get the tips.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly. Well, just keep that picture in mind, and then we'll see. Anyway, so he's only got two now. Oh, im lokach beis bitchila. What if he just took two? Straight away. He just took two. Va'agodam, and then tied them up. Kosher. It's kosher. B'dievet, that's okay. And he can even use that lechatchila eft if he only has two. Because we say, the Rabbanon says we need three, but it's not ma'akev. Okay? In fact, Xerah Shomer, for every reason, you have to have two. Three is optimal, but if you tie them and you have two, that's all. That's okay. So that's halacha number one. Now, what if nispordu hagiv olim, what if the shoots start getting separated, or vinushum, or the leaves start falling? I guess those little blue things over there are the little leaves, and they start falling off. And there's not very much left to the stalk. I feel there should be called givul mahem elokoshu, and there's really not a lot left to the whole stalk. All that blue stuff's blown away, and there's just a little bit of any of that. But as long as there's any amount, kosher.
It's
still
three of them. There's three of them.
Okay,
and
good.
The tips and everything.
Three and the tips. Okay, so let's say it's all withered away, and all you got is tips. Okay, still kosher. Why? Sheshiyaria osev b'kolshu. Even the leftover of the stalk, any kolshu is good. Okay, next point. How about kelach? Let's say you've got a stalk. Sheish bo shlosh b'ayim, but it's got three shoots. So let's say here's the stalk.
Right.
That's one stalk.
Right.
It's got one shooting out on the right, one shooting on the left, and you got three over there. Okay. So what you should do is, now let's think about, do they have any triples on one stalk?
Let's see.
Okay, now it could be the things are shooting out from very low. Let's say here's the stalk, and I got another one shooting out like that.
Yeah.
So if I just cut it, I've got it. So let's say I got one here and one here.
Yeah.
I cut this, I cut that. What do I got?
One.
Three stalks.
Yeah, that's right. Three
shoots. So that's a real good way to do things. So, mefasco, you cut the two sides.
So there's three. This one here has three.
Which one?
This one over there has three stalks. Three things.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, good. So you just cut them off and then put them together. All right, va'achach oge shoshen, then tie the three together. Shemitzvas on liyas aguda, misavdan aguda. Right, so that's fine. Afal pi, even though sholni sparsh b'tar shaguda, even though the Torah doesn't say you have to have aguda, but I already said this exerish shava, that's three. Now, what if pisco? What if you cut off the other two? So I got three, but below agdo, and you didn't tie them up. Oh, let's say shaguda. Let's say you have the three are together, and you tie them up. Little people, you didn't cut them off. Oh, shalom, peace, go. Let's see, you didn't cut off the triple. V'lo'agoto, and you didn't bind them. And you sprinkled kosher. They're all b'dievet kosher. All cases.
Wow.
So it seems you can get away with two little itty-bitties, three that are not bound. There's a lot of b'dievets that work over here. Now, how about the following? Now, let's say you've got your jar of paraduma water with a narrow opening.
Yeah.
And you're almost at the bottom of that.
It's like a bottleneck.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you got your hyssop, which is not extraordinarily long.
No.
So you're taking the hyssop and you're dipping it in, and it ain't reaching the water. Even tipping won't work. Okay, so what do you do? Is a solution. We can make a prosthetic device for the hyssop.
Oh, so extend it.
Make an extender. So what do you do? Ogdo b'chut shalagush. You could tie it up to the crochet needle. In other words, if this is the hyssop and it's too short, so now I got a crochet needle that will now give it longer reach. So just tie it up to that. I can bind it up with that crochet needle.
Extender.
Ukiyotzebo v'tovel b'mayim. You could dip it into the water. You need only the azov to be dipped in the water, and it is dipping in the water. My hand does not have to hold the azov per se when it's being dipped in, as long as it's from my power, so to speak. However, when you pull it out, you can't dip it by still holding onto that needle.
No, it has to be the azov.
So umale, you bring it up. But now you can grab the hyssop itself, umaze, and sprinkle with the hyssop, because the sprinkling has to be with the hyssop itself and not through something else. Now, what if nistapek lo, if you're not sure when you did the sprinkling, iminachut hiza, did you do it from the string that's connecting it? You may not have taken off the needle, but you just say you hold it in the middle. But maybe the middle is where the string is connecting the needle to the hyssop, or maybe you're touching the hyssop. You're not sure. And you're not sure, minachut hiza, if you did it from the string, or minakusha from the needle, or minagibo from the stalk. I don't know which one I did. Hazasa psula, the sprinkling is not kosher.
And we'll the givol, they say, is what? What's the givol?
The givol is the shoot. The kelach is the stalk, and the givol is the shoot.
That's what you say.